everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Shop and Chivalry Podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about another individual running for mayor in Ocean Springs. Fred Chick Cody is running as mayor for Ocean Springs. He's been a faithful servant to the city for about a quarter century. He served alongside like-minded peers and mayors and those not so like-minded. He was part of the administration which converted the downtown area into the tourist draw that has been award-winning and inviting to so many people. He's been a part of the community wishing to proliferate the arts and culture scene as well. Chick is a Republican, but his forward-thinking perspective is anything but conservative, in the political sense at least. Chick has vision for Ocean Springs, which seeks to capitalize on current and future growth. He seeks to bring clean industry here, which will benefit the entire coast. He has ideas to promote free enterprise in East Ocean Springs as well as downtown. And that's the benefit of a man who has served for so long. He has experience across the continuum of time. He's seen good policy and bad policy, and those are vectors towards the right policies. Policies grounded in relevance and predictability of outcomes. I enjoyed sitting down with Chick. He's a wonderful guy with a great perspective on this city and her future. Everyone, please welcome Fred Chick Cody. Well, how do you feel?
Well, I feel great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah.
Chance to talk about Ocean Springs and what's good about it.
Excellent.
What I consider to be a jewel.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to that here in just a moment. Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Shop Chivalry Podcast. My guest today, the great Chick Cody. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. So, Chick, you're running for mayor, correct?
Mayor. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, why?
Well, I love Ocean Springs, and I feel like that Ocean Springs needs a leader with experience, mm-hmm. one that loves the city. I've been involved in politics since the 60s and 70s more especially, being on the Planning Commission and then moving up to Alderman in 79 and 80. I really believe that Ocean Springs has a lot to offer, and sometimes in that offering, we get a challenge or two. We don't want to upset the balance that we have already. Mm-hmm. Ocean Springs is unique. Our downtown shops, Government Street, Washington Avenue with the entertainment centers that we have. The out east is yet to be platted or developed, but that's sure. a challenge. But downtown is pretty well really visited by an awful lot of people.
Yeah.
The thing that really makes Ocean Springs, I think, set aside from others, our school system's number one in the state.
Oh, yeah.
We have traditionally been a single-family dwelling city, meaning bedroom community. And I think that people sometimes lose sight of that. Mm-hmm. And big's not always better, as I say. Have said for years, we don't want to go the way of some cities where they've grown to into something that you don't even recognize anymore. If you could just hear the people that come down here for Cruising the Coast, Peter Anderson, the parades, or any of the events that we have downtown, and they'll tell you, don't change anything. You don't know what you have. And these people are from all over the United States.
Yeah,
For an example, Cruisin' has 44 states and two or three foreign countries that people come to visit us. And Ocean Springs has the largest venue of all of Cruisin'. So we think that we're important in that event, and we're very thankful that the cruisers come back. But you know, it's hard to say no to Ocean Springs with a canopy of trees when the sun's out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you the really cool thing about Cruising whenever it's cruising season is that, you know, you can walk down Washington Avenue and Government, and it's literally like a snapshot in time. If not for the fashion trends and maybe some LED lighting, you would think that we're, you know,
still back in the 40s.
Exactly. It's so great. It really is. Now, you talk about Ocean Springs being a jewel, right? What kind of jewel is it?
Well, it's unique. We have the old town presence, I guess. still there with the buildings and the structure of the T, which is Washington and Government Street. Nobody else has that on the coast. And it lends itself to that, to that era where you can feel like you're in the 40s or 50s when you ride down the street and cruise. But, you know, the main thing we have is we have the narrow streets, okay, which gives it, which naturally slows traffic down, causes you to cruise instead of speed. But a lot of them try to speed anyway.
So right.
But anyway, we enjoy that. People can walk about the city, especially on Government and Washington, and many of the other streets that connect. But we've been able to connect downtown to the beach, down Porter, and that's a good walk. It's a beautiful walk. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell people, if you want to really fall in love with Ocean Springs, get a convertible or a golf car, just ride around the town, and just let the city talk to you. A lady told me the other day, we were out at the ballpark when the little league threw their first pitches out. And kind of,
I saw that.
Well, I was adjusting one of my signs, and she said, "Are you Chick Cody?" I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Well, I saw you on the Roost, the forum that y'all had." She said, "I was really touched by what you said." And she said, "In fact, my husband and I bought a golf cart, and we rode around town, and it absolutely happened just like you said.
It's a different experience."
And she said, "My mother and dad came down, and they had the same experience." So she said, "I'm voting for you." So I said, "Thank you." But what I'm trying to convey is this: it's a beautiful city, and there are other beautiful cities on the coast too. Not, you know, just Ocean Springs, but I think we're kind of unique with our shops and the way it's laid out. It's hard to match what we have because of the layout, and I think that is intriguing to a lot of people.
Without a doubt.
And you know, the buildings speak for themselves, the trees speak for themselves. I mean, I think done a really good job, and I like to think that I've had a lot to do with that since I've been an alderman for so many years, in keeping the pristine look or the unique look of Ocean Springs over the years without changing it because of building structures or building programs.
Right.
And where you go in and modify the whole city. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that. We want to keep what we have, but we want to be able to grow and invite other people in. There's always room for one more.
Sure.
In a controlled way, or at least a measured way that you have control over.
Right. And that's the goal after all. I mean, obviously the city has to evolve and grow and keep up with the times, but you don't want to lose the identity in the process, right. You know? So you've talked about a lot of things that we're going to dive into deeper, but I'm curious, let's talk about your time as an alderman prior, right? So you were you served the city of Ocean Springs as an alderman for 25 years or
24 years.
24 years.
6 terms.
Okay, 6 terms. Wow, that's incredible. Which ward?
Ward 4 for one term, and then ward 3 for 5 terms.
Wow, that's incredible. So you know, you talk about, you know, being a part of the sort of, I guess, maybe part of the group that's responsible for making Ocean Springs what it is. I know when I was in high school, that downtown scene was not the way it was, you know, past in between, like kind of where Government and Washington met and maybe up to Pleasance, there wasn't much there.
No,
that's changed. So talk about that. I mean, how involved were you in that process to kind of develop that area?
Well, when in the time frame that you're talking about, most of that was residential, mm-hmm. and we've been able to change that to commercial in some cases, and there are 3 or 4, 5 categories of commercial activity. So we have been able to change that and kind of adapt what the business is in that area without impacting the residential areas too much. Mm-hmm. Now, they have been impacted by some of the bars with the loud music late at night, and that's been a problem for a while. Mm-hmm. But I think we've got that pretty well under control now. I think we limit everything to 11 or 12 o'clock, and then they have to go inside after that, the music does.
Sure.
And they can stay open to 2, but they have to be inside. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one way that we've been able to do it. But, you know, houses are not what they used to be. They're well insulated now, so a lot of times it really helps. But nothing can take the bass out, the boom, boom, boom. That goes through concrete walls.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah.
So that's if you take the bass off, you probably wouldn't even hear it.
Yeah, interesting.
But the bass is what makes the rhythm. You know, you have to.
Keep, yeah. Oh, for sure,
so,
for sure.
So, but it's a compromise, and really it's a communication deal. You have to be able to communicate what you're going to do to the residents and make sure that they are pleased with it or satisfied with it to a point that they can continue to live their lives normally. You never want to disrupt residential areas. Residential R1, R2, R3 is the highest use of property. That's the most restricted. Mm-hmm. And you need to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
When you're developing anything downtown, because it does bleed over.
So where have you as an alderman been limited, like, by previous mayoral administrations, and what can you do as a mayor to improve kind of the way that maybe you go around developing places like downtown Ocean Springs?
Well, I think what has to happen is the mayor has to be a person that can communicate very well with the board. You have to have that line of communication that says, okay, look, this is a board. It's not the mayor and it's not the board of aldermen separated. We're together. And you have to provide that leadership where you can convey your thoughts and ideas to them on any given project that comes in. If it's good for Ocean Springs, then obviously it will sell itself. But there are some that are controversial that you really have to work through. It doesn't mean that the has to turn into a nightmare. Mm-hmm. You know, you should be able to communicate what it is that you want to do. And once you've kind of gotten the theme of what you want to do for the 4-year period, then you can go from there. I think the first thing that I'd like to do as mayor when elected, I'd like to sit down on the board and say, okay, listen, we have 4 years. Let's pick the 4 areas or 5 areas that we want to address and prioritize those and go after those. Okay, let's make sure we keep our word. If we're going to do this, that, or the other, let's make sure we do that. And you can do that united, but when you get fragmented, when a board gets fragmented, there's very little done.
Oh, of course. And that makes total sense. I mean, you know, when you promise every project in Ocean Springs, it's this idea that because you focus on everything, you actually focus on nothing.
Right.
And so being able to focus on, say, you know what, we're going to prioritize these 4 or 5 things. You can actually allocate responsibly resources, time, money to actually bring those projects to fruition. So I think it's a very responsible way to look at it, for sure.
I think that some things that we really need to do in Ocean Springs, we really need to look at how we are paving our roads. Okay, what's happened downtown, if you in one specific area there by Tater Nut, the road is almost 5, 6, 7 inches higher than the gutter. So when you go into park, the car falls off into like a hole, and you
that's not by design. It's like a wheel chalk.
it rubs the hubcaps and
right
the wheels,
right
okay, and people park don't want to get over there. So you're 2 foot narrower in the road passage, okay, way, than you would normally be. So, and I've expressed opinions on that and how to fix that, and then we can do it. It's not something that's impossible.
It doesn't sound like a cosmic thing. Yeah,
it's not. It's something that should have been done a long time ago. But notwithstanding, we have those problems all over town. When you pave and pave and pave and don't grind down the streets or scarify the area, what happens is you keep building it up, and you ruin your drainage and all the connections to the drainage areas. And that's happened in several areas of town. We need to address those. I know where they are, and I know how to fix them.
I would imagine 25 years as an alderman, there's not a lot you don't know about the streets in Ocean Springs.
Quite a bit. And, the good thing is, though, that I think we will have a chance to do that. You know, it's really simple. You have the State of Communications, which is one meeting every month, the first Tuesday of every month. That's by law. You have to have that. So when you have 4 years of that, you're going to have 48 meetings that you've got to go to or so. And then, of course, you meet again. You usually have two, sometimes three meetings a month. But those are important. And the agenda that you follow is what you get done. Now, I'm not talking about the normal things that you have to do that are mandated by just good common sense things that you have to do. I'm talking about out of the ordinary, which would mean projects that would be substantially in need of funding. Mm-hmm. Well, those are the projects that we need to sit down and determine, what are we going to do in 4 years? Are we going to just say status quo, or we want to think outside the box and get some of these things done? People expect a board to listen to them and to express what their ideas are in the forms of doing something.
Right.
I really believe that Ocean Springs has got a chance now more than ever to really come out of this hole that we're in as far as the infrastructure goes. We've already identified all of the piping system in the water and sewer departments that need to be replaced. A lot of drainage ditches in that area we're working on, and we've got plans to get those fixed. So I think we're on the road to recovery, or on the road to a better Ocean Springs. But at the same time, it's stuff that we can afford to do. Our enterprise fund is really, since we've changed the water meters out and gotten the correct readings on them, have really produced the income that should have been producing years ago.
Yeah.
But notwithstanding, enterprise funds have to stand on their own, and those have to pay for themselves. Those are services in addition to all the other police, fire, and all the other things that you get. But in our case, I think the enterprise fund this last year was $24 million, and the regular budget was $16 to $18 million. So you can see how important the enterprise fund is, as well as taxes.
Sure, sure. Well, and I'm glad that we're working on those sort of, you know, not easily seen projects that support the infrastructure of Ocean Springs, because a lot of these, particularly in the Northeast, they're running into a lot of these infrastructure issues. I think it's somewhere between 12 and 21% of all the water underground in Philadelphia is unaccounted for, leaking through the pipes. Now, of course, Philadelphia is one of the oldest cities in the nation, obviously. But, you know, by not addressing those things at the appropriate time, that could be Ocean Springs. You're talking about 12 to 24% of that potential income just gone, unaccounted for, you know, that, and that's a, that's something that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later. So it's fantastic that we've done this thing, created fiscal policy to be able to have that money to be able to address these issues, you know. But again, those are things that I think citizens overlook or take for granted because, you know, it's underground stuff. They don't see it.
Yeah.
They see trees, they see, you know,
all the good things,
you know, all the streets. And you mentioned downtown, and if we can stick downtown for just a moment, what ideas do you have about improving like the drivability of downtown Ocean Springs?
Well, it's true that Ocean Springs has a parking problem, and that's a good problem to have because that means that people are wanting to come down and spend money in our stores. But the challenge is, how do we fix it? Well, there are a number of ways. If you are ever in Gulfport on Highway, I guess that's 49 going up, and I think it's 25th Avenue. Mm-hmm. They have angled the parking substantially, and you're able to get a car in a designated area without sticking out in the street so far. Well, when you parallel park, if you have a truck that parks and then you have a smaller car, well, when that truck leaves, it's an odd position, so you might not be able to get two cars in there, but you're taking up two or three areas that you because of the fact that it's not marked off for the car to pull in. Well, that you can fix that. You can either take the parking off of one side and end park, angle park on the other side all the way down. And that's easy to do. You can actually come from both ways and park. So those are things that we will talk about if I'm elected. Mm-hmm. I have a plan already in place that I can show them and show them what can be done. But in no way or no wise do we want to do something that's going to disrupt our downtown. The businesses will all have a chance to input and to see what we're going to do before we'd ever do anything like that, because I know how controversial things can be, especially downtown. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you have several plans, and then you let them vote on the one that they would like to use. But, you know, you might have to go through a trial and error period there and see which one works best. But there is a solution. And then, of course, the parking garage is one that's been talked about, and as far as I know, it's still on the table to do. Mm-hmm. So that will take a lot of the cars off the street. In other words, they'll be able to park in that area and then walk down to, or use a golf cart to run around town. That's one thing that we've really been blessed with is the golf carts. They make it possible for a lot of people that cannot walk to drive up to a store and go in and enjoy the option of shopping in store,
right,
and then get back in a cart and go either home or to their vehicle. So we've done that, and that came about over the years that we worked Cruising the Coast and Peter Anderson. We used the golf carts to get around, because when you have those festivals laid out, now I used to walk the whole thing before we had the carts, mm-hmm. but you get older, you can't move as fast. But I sometimes think if I'd have still been walking, I'd be in a lot better shape than I am now, and I'm in pretty good shape. But notwithstanding, if you have an idea such as the golf carts, and then you expand on that, you make it possible for people to really enjoy the benefits of coming downtown, okay, and realizing, well, look, I can go this store and I can go that store without having to walk those great distances, but I can walk when I get in the store, and then I get do a lot more shopping, and at the same time enjoy the ride, cool off,
right,
especially in summertime.
Oh yeah, oh
but,
yeah.
We have a lot of fun with those golf carts. I think that people have really, it's really caught on. I think we had 400 to 700, something like that. We've got a tremendous number of them. And we have a little tag that you have to stick on it. We buy that every year. And so that keeps it, makes sure that the insurance is paid on it, and that it's, you know, safe to drive and everything, mm-hmm. lights and everything, horn,
right.
Turn signals.
Seat belts.
Seat belts. You have to have all those things. And that's for their safety. We haven't had very many accidents. We haven't had any major accidents with them. We've had a few, but not anything that you would normally have.
Right.
Bicycles have probably more problems sometimes than you'd like to have. But with narrow streets, and you have to respect that, okay, that means you have to be more aware of everybody around you. You have to look out for the other fellow if he's not looking out for himself.
Look, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think part of the traffic problem in downtown Ocean Springs could be solved by a little bit of personal responsibility. And by that, I mean, like, if you're driving a dually, a long wheelbase dually in downtown Ocean Springs, like you're creating part of a problem. And obviously that's your right. I'm not saying that, but sure. But unfortunately I see that. And I think, like, maybe there's an argument for regulating parking on government to where you can't have a long wheelbase truck or you can't have a dually parking.
Well, those are some of the things I was talking about
in the
decision making process that we'll have to go through for people that want to shop downtown. Mm-hmm. You can have a designated area such that the trucks are welcomed in this area because of the fact that they have a longer area to park in, longer width,
or these wide tires that
of course. And those are things you have to be aware of, because you really can't limit those vehicles and say, well, we don't want you downtown, or we don't want you downtown, but you can provide for them. That's the thing, provide for them. And then if you can say, reserved for large truck or, mm-hmm. or whatever. But those are the challenges that we have. And I think that we can meet them. Reasonable people can think together mm-hmm. and reason together. So we'll do that. But I think another thing, too, that causes some major problems with downtown, we have a lot of tractor trailer trucks, semis that come downtown to unload. And there's no place for them to park yeah. except in the middle. And it really creates a problem for a short time. Thank God for a short time.
Right.
But maybe we need to work with them and get them to come in times when it's not as crowded.
Yeah.
A lot of
kind of like what New Orleans does, basically.
Yeah, you have to do it at night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there are a lot of things that I'd like to do, I'd like to see done, and I'll propose them to the board to think about. I don't believe in being a dictator. I think we do things together.
Yeah.
And I really believe that there are options and solutions to all of these problems. We just have to think through them.
For sure. For sure. Let me ask you, have you talked to any businesses about, you know, having their distributors show up like in the early morning hours or at night or outside of their normal hours that they come in? Have they expressed any concern of that? Because I would wonder if that would be an additional cost on the business.
Well, that is something that is definitely got to be done. I did talk to them when I was an alderman the last time, because a lot of that was I represented a lot of that area down here at one time. But the problem is, and it's we really should provide for them.
Yeah.
No matter what time they come, we should be able to handle it.
Should the city subsidize any sort of additional cost for that for the businesses?
Well, you could subsidize it by providing a place for them to park and then to convey their goods to the mm-hmm. to the stores.
Sure,
that would be one way to do it. Another way is that you have the trucks instead of bringing the tractor trailers down there, you have the delivery vans. That they
oh fair
have.
Enough
and you utilize those instead of the tractor trailers. Mm-hmm. You can't get around those tractor trailer trucks
not at all.
We can't even get a fire truck around them sometimes, so that's the only problem we have.
You know, I didn't think about that, but that's certainly a big issue. You know, if you're occupying, you know, essentially the middle of a two-lane road, you know, you cannot get a fire truck around there.
And what we have done when I was an alderman last time, we had times between 7 and 9 that they could park, that you couldn't park in those areas because it was a delivery, because the store did not have a back door or a way to get to the back of
yeah,
the store.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To bring it in. So we did that, and it worked. That was on Washington Avenue.
Mm.
So we can do that again, okay? But what we'll do is we'll get together. See, a lot of these stores that have the breads, special breads that come in, you want to get those fresh, and I understand that, and early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in and they make their deliveries, okay? And that we don't want to stop that. We want to accommodate them. Whatever it takes to help them, that's what we want to do. The businesses are the backbone of our economy, especially those small businesses downtown and all around town.
And they also help keep money in the local area as well.
That's right.
You know, if you had a franchise down there, a lot of franchises extract money from the city, right. You know, so.
Yeah, right. And then, the challenge is to make it work. You know, you've got a problem, so let's find a solution. And we can do that working together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's funny, I mean, this seems to be, I mean, I don't know if it's really funny, but it seems to be a recurring theme for you on a lot of these issues. You explain the situation, you know, potential ideas that you do have, but you always come back around to this, but we have to get together with everybody. We have to lead with the consensus of the people, of the aldermen and whatnot. And I'll be honest with you, I've talked to a lot of the other mayors, and that's not like a regurgitated sentiment that seems to be pretty self-evidently obvious, but it seems to be a principle for you. Why is that?
I have been associated with downtown and all around town, the businesses, because of the events coordinator position that I held for many years as mm-hmm. an alderman. And so I was able to work with those businesses on a one-to-one, eyeball-to-eyeball situation. And when they would express to me, Chick, I've got a problem here. Well, it was my job to figure out how to help that person, not to say, no, you can't do it. No, we can't do this. No. If you need a delivery downtown because you've got some people that are coming to shop your store during an event. My job is to figure out how to get those people there, how to get them back to their cars, and how to get the delivery to the store.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did. And by listening to them, you're able to understand their predicament, okay? Whenever you close the streets, you're in essence, you're inviting people to walk, okay, not ride, not drive.
Right.
So you've got to provide for their deliveries, their pickups, and in cases of several stores downtown, people that shop and then they're elderly, they will call me and say, "Chick, we've got some people here that need to go back to their cars. They're parked a good ways away." That's easy. I've got a whole list of volunteers that work with us that are just as dedicated as you can be to doing the same thing, or they wouldn't be there. And we go down and get them and take them to the car and make sure they get there, take their packages, whatever they need. That's the kind of service we've provided for a long time.
So you mentioned essentially leveraging volunteers that have a passion or a vigor for some sort of interest in this case, helping people
right.
get to their cars. You know, I feel like as I moved back down to this area, one of the controversies that I kind of saw was with the Mary C. And it seemed like we had a passionate group of people who were trying to do their best with the Mary C. And for whatever the reason that may be, that relationship seems to have been dissolved. You know, what can you do as mayor to help improve relationships with people that, quite frankly, are low cost if they're volunteer to right. help manage a facility or grow a facility that's so important to Ocean Springs like the Mary C.?
Well, the Mary C., in fact, I was talking to someone last night about the Mary C. We were at the Mary C. And I said, you know, when they wanted to tear the Mary C. down, and a few people, Danny Jelanovich, myself, Matt McDonald, John Gill, that were from here, and a lot of the other ones, we said, no, we're not going to tear it down. We're gonna utilize it.
Mm-hmm.
The city always owned the Mary C. building. The school board was allowed to use it because back then, that's the way it was. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they separated them. Now the school owns their property, but the city still owns everything. That's the state actually owns everything. But anyway, the Mary C. was saved and salvaged, okay, and we brought it back up. Just a few years ago, I was privileged to be able to get the insurance companies to go back and take a hard look at what they had given us. And lo and behold, they agreed that they owed us some money and paid it, and we painted the entire inside of the building. Mm. I mean, redid it. It was beautiful and fixed a lot of things that we needed to fix. Volunteers are essential to any organization. Without the communication and without the untiring dedication to those people and they're listening to what their complaints are, what their concerns are, what their opinions are, you can't make it work. You've got to be able to listen to them. They've got a problem. Now, with the Mary C., there were a number of problems that we had, not with the people so much as it was just things that happened. Our kitchen was one of the biggest drawing cards we had there for a while, and that seemed to diminish. But then we had people that passed away, and so it never did kind of catch on. But then we had several cooking classes that came back that were really great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to know how to make biscuits, okay?
Yeah.
So next time they have a class for that, I'm going.
There you go.
Okay? But what I'm just saying... It's so important to keep things running properly, but funding those organizations sometimes is a problem. However, the Mary C. was issued a challenge many years ago by Matt McDonald, who was the alderman at that time over that, and he said, y'all need to be self-sustaining, and they were on the road to that. In fact, they were doing really good. Mm. In fact, the last major play that I went to was Mamma Mia, and I enjoyed that immensely. In fact, my wife went to the play in New Orleans that they had, which was the original cast, and she said that ours was as good as that one.
Oh, no kidding.
So I was really tickled, but she's a music major. She knows music, so you know, she likes music, and I loved it. I enjoyed it when I went to see it the last time it was there. Well, that is the kind of thing that we want to redevelop have implemented in our system. Now, last night we were there, and they had glass blowing. They were actually showing.
Me and my wife did that. Yeah,
It was great.
Yeah,
and that's just one thing. There are several things that they've got coming that are really going to be nice. But yeah. I really think that communication, when you stop communicating, then everything ceases.
Sure.
And that's kind of what happens over time. So those people that are in the various areas that of especially volunteers, you've got to be on your toes with them. You've got to listen to them, and they're vital. You've got to have them. Now, Mary C. is that's how it's made. But what we have done is we've put a director in there that's paid for by the city. They'll be able. Their sole function is that program, and then the programs in it. So that is really going to help them. And we invite everybody to come back to the Mary C. Mm-hmm. And we will, there's an open list right now of people that are needed to make it work. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's vital. Volunteer. We couldn't do Cruising the Coast or Peter Anderson or anything else if we didn't have volunteers.
No, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I think some of the concerns that I've heard is that having a city paid official that's over the Mary C. will stifle the operational ability of, say, a volunteer organization within the Mary C. Do you feel that that's the case, or is it more of an asset? I mean,
well, I think that it's more of an asset because they don't have to worry about raising the money, mm-hmm. okay, for the individual that they have running the thing. Plus, that will put the responsibility back on the city to make sure that those programs are properly funded. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a challenge really for us to make sure that we provide room for those people to come and develop whatever, you know, skill that they have or
yeah.
whatever interests they have, because after all, it's a cultural center. It's for everybody.
Yeah. It's the epicenter of culture.
That's right.
You know, within the city. And, you know, because of that, and I don't think people really disagree with it. I think, you know, probably we'd look at the Peter Anderson Museum as something very, very similar, one that goes hand in hand with the Mary C., which I would agree with that, you know, as well. But it seems that if it's that important and if it's that epicenter, does it being profit making, does that actually matter that much? Or is there a capacity for allowing the Mary C. to maybe be in the red a little bit because of the other than profitable value that it brings to the city?
Well, you have to weigh the importance of that building and the activities there. How important is recreation? How important is cultural items that you...
Well, it's surely relative, at least to Ocean Springs. It seems to be tied into the essence of Ocean Springs.
Arts and education. Yeah, that's what Ocean Springs is about. Yeah. So I really believe that if you have the paid director and she's managing the systems, the whole agenda of items that you do. Well,
with a collaborative mindset.
It will be all-inclusive. And of course, she's open to any idea that you have. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a chance for people to really get in and do it. And it's an enterprise system, but it also is a budgeted item. So it will probably always be a little bit in the red as far as the building maintenance and all those things, because it's an old building. It has to be maintained. And a lot of times things happen,
sure.
You didn't expect.
Entropy, yeah.
The roofs, you don't get those for a couple of dollars. Those are $100,000 roofs and more. Yeah. But, there's a lot of history downtown. The Loveless building has been bought and purchased by Blossman. And we hope that they'll put a fountain back in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see a fountain back in there. But I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with it, but it's certainly an option I'd like them to see.
Right.
See if they can do. Anyway, I think that that area is certainly beautiful. You know, that is that area right there on Government Street, that's the original road that was paved there. That concrete has never been overlaid with blacktop or asphalt. Mm. And and we actually had that ground down in that area to keep people from slipping when it rained, and then went, because the cars drip oil, and it gets very, very slick. And so the company that came in to do that absolutely just said, we can't do it because the concrete's so hard. It ruined all their diamond cutters.
No kidding.
They were spending thousands of dollars trying to correct the their machinery. It ruined it. And so they just abandoned the project and said, we can't help you because the concrete was too hard.
Must have been some of that Roman concrete. I'm told that the Roman concrete that exists over there is still more dense and durable than modern concrete today.
Well, concrete ages and it gets harder over time.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. And,
unfortunately, wood doesn't do that, but and steel doesn't do that.
Yeah.
But
although Florence is on stilts. Florence, Italy, mm-hmm. It's on underwater stilts, have been for thousands of years. I guess it's the air that does wood bad, but submerged in water.
And other woods that are conducive to wet environments, they'll last forever.
Sure, sure.
You know, cypress is probably the best thing to make a house siding out of, as mm-hmm. well as
outdoor furniture. I've got a wood shop myself, so yeah. But well, okay. So we spent a lot of time talking about downtown Ocean Springs, and rightfully so. But you know, a lot of talk is moving to the other side of the city and East Ocean Springs, and we kind of have this opportunity here where it's sort of this canvas. And I've heard opinions about East Ocean Springs ranging from we don't want to develop it because it's wetlands and we need to preserve it, all the way to we need to drop Sangani Boulevard down in East Ocean Springs. And I've also heard, which I think is the more moderate position, is since we have this opportunity to plan, why not create a sort of downtown, not like the downtown that we have in West Ocean Springs is an evolution, but rather create one that's by design. You know, with open walking spaces and maybe cobblestone roads or what have you, you know. So I say all that to ask you this: what are your thoughts about East Ocean Springs?
Well, I think that's a marvelous idea. We need to do that. It is true that there are a lot of wetlands out there in the east, but we have water and sewer run out there already. So that was a major expense. We did that. I think that some of the land out there could be certainly mitigated without too much an expense. But anytime you get into that, you get into a lot of unknowns. And I think that's what has been the holdup out there. Certainly traffic out there. People certainly come going to and from Ingalls and everything to the east. So it's just a challenge, I think, of getting the right people in the right time. I think the little shop that was built over there, Tractor Sales.
Tractor Supply, yeah.
Supply,
yeah.
It makes a good indication that it is buildable. Mm-hmm. And you just have to pick the right businesses to go out there.
Which we have Aldi coming, apparently.
Yes.
Aldi.
And several more.
Yeah. I've heard some rumors.
Yeah. And they're good. I just don't want to let the cat out of the bag because I don't know if it's going to happen.
Right.
I don't want to say that it is coming and then something happens because inevitably that can happen.
Yeah.
But when you have Walmart forms a point to grow around because
it's gravity. Yeah.
People. But remember, right there where Walmart is, you've got a major subdivision back there, and you've got a graveyard, okay, cemetery. And so that kind of stops everything going to the east for a little while, okay, and then you pick up on the other side. Well, on the other side of the road, that would be, let's see, the major road going to the up, or is it, no, it's the middle school.
Where the middle school is.
Okay. That creates a lot of problems, but it creates a lot of opportunity because people come and go. Mm-hmm. So that's what you have to do. You have to figure out what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? What am I going to do to get the people that are in this area already to shop local? So those are the types of businesses that we really, really need to attract in that area. But it's hard to compete with Walmart and a few of the other things because they have such an array of goods. And
it's a one-stop shop.
It is.
You know, I can get my oil changed, you know, a haircut if you trust the barbers, grocery shop, you know, it's a proxy for hardware store. I mean,
Yeah. So, which is good. I mean, it provides a service for people that one-stop shop, you know. Yeah. But the COVID crisis pandemic has changed a lot of ideas on how people shop in the future.
I'm glad you brought this up. You're the first person to talk about this, and I'm really curious to hear your opinion.
Amazon has proved that people can stay at home and shop. But let me just say this. Yesterday, this is funny. Yesterday, my daughter received two packages that she bought from Amazon, on Amazon.
Right.
All right. She opened everything up, and she cannot wear anything that she purchased. It was not like it was shown in the pages, okay? Not saying that it wasn't her fault or our fault or whatever. So there is a lot of truth to being able to go there, eyeball it, put your hands on it, and try it on. I don't think you'll ever get out of that, okay?
I think of hardware stores and clothing for sure. Because if I go into a hardware store and I'm trying to match up like a bolt or something like that, look, I need the thread thing. I've got to thread it in and know what you know what I need. And it's difficult to do that with Amazon at times, unless you're an expert at counting thread and whatnot. But
I think that there are just some businesses that you're not going to be able to convey to online shopping without giving up some of your selection.
Sure.
The main thing, though, is to provide services, businesses that can make it, can add to your community and add profitably for them as well as savings for us, the shopper. So that's the challenge. But look, Ocean Springs is known for its restaurants. 110, I think, 100 to 110 restaurants.
Are there really that many?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, you stop and think about that, you know? You've got a major industry right there. I mean, that's a lot of folks working. Yeah. So,
I should say, to the credit of the restaurants in Ocean Springs, and please take credit, like as far as the aldermen and the city during this as well. But they did pretty well. In fact, businesses opened during the pandemic, I think indicating the favorable business climate for the restaurant industry that exists, even despite the pandemic.
Well, let me show you how important that was. The city coffers were $300,000 better during the pandemic than they were the year before when there was no pandemic.
Really?
So that tells you how many people got in line to get their food, okay? Mm-hmm. And what happened was instead of going to the grocery store and buying everything and shopping, they just chose to go to a place that was already prepared. They drove up there, got it, and went home and ate it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that probably will change somewhat as things open back up. But it does give you a history lesson in that it shows you that the businesses can accommodate people on a regular basis when necessary. So, I mean, I think it was great. Not the pandemic, but the fact
but the response to
response
it, the tenacity, the fortitude to push through that. You know, I think Chef Scott's is a pretty good example. I could be wrong in this. I don't think I am, but I don't think they had online ordering, right? But they. but they now have online ordering. And so they've now advanced their restaurant and given it an online space, which allowed them to continue to have a business. And Chef Scott's is great, you know, but a lot of businesses fell into that. They said, well, we need to survive. How do we do that? Well, now they've evolved their business to be able to play in the online food space. So,
well, I miss Chef Scott's downtown, but I like where he is now because sure. I can get in and out. Lancaster's was right there beside him. In fact, it was in, I think, the same building. They moved out on the highway. We ate there yesterday. And he was telling us how much more room he has and how much better the parking situation is. But he misses downtown. He misses the flavor of downtown, meaning the parades, the everything else that the festivals that he'd be open for. But that's a trade-off between doing business all year long and then versus the good times, which would be when you have major events downtown.
Yeah.
But not at all to take away from downtown, but we do need to focus on the eastern, the western part of town as well as the eastern part of town. Each one of them has a flavor of their own. Mm-hmm. Each one of them has an agenda of items that are different, okay? But the idea you had about the little village out there, that is doable. In fact, I think something is probably in the works now.
Wonderful.
And if we can just work with them and get them through to completion design and through the other things. But listen, that's where you have to have a board that is proactive when it comes to businesses, and when you try to do everything you can to help them, you need to knock down as much of the red tape as you can, provide for them, and go from. The major problems we have is when you have a design on the table and you get in there and you go to the shovel, you start the building process, you get into the building process, and then you find out that major portions of it were somehow overlooked, okay? Well, that should not happen. If you're going to develop an area, you should know exactly what it takes.
Yeah.
And you might have some surprises, but you shouldn't have very many of them. Because if you know what the topo is, you know what the surrounding area is, you know your water, your sewer, your drainage, all that is, that should be you should know that. That should be in concrete.
Right.
And those are the things that I'm talking about. Yeah. One business told me yesterday that they got into it and then they decided that they had to take several trees down because they were impacting the area. The roots would be up under the building and mm-hmm. it would be just a matter of time before they had problems with it. I said, well, those are the things you should have thought about when you picked that piece of property. You know, maybe you could have moved down a few hundred feet, if possible, and you wouldn't have had those problems. So I think when we get these projects, we need to look at it from the infancy, from when it's an infant, okay, instead of an adult, if you understand sure. the correlation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can kind of weed through these problems and sift them out and then say, how are we going to deal with this, and this? So that they'll know up front what the cost is to develop that particular piece of property versus another piece of property.
Right.
But
so one of your goals here is to complete all working projects that are that the city has on the table right now.
Yes.
Okay. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because it does seem that if, like, are there projects that exist where you're worried that maybe they didn't
think them through? The one that we've had the major problems with was the sidewalk completion out to the school, out to the middle school on Old 90, or
okay.
what we call Government Street,
yeah.
Spanish Trail. The crossing those wetlands out there and those bayous and everything, that has been a major problem. But we finally got that worked through, mm-hmm. got it accepted by MDOT. And another thing, a lot of these projects hinge on getting approval from the regulatory bodies. The state has several that you have to go through, and we've been able to do that. But those are the things that sometimes you just can't rush through. You've got to wade through. And
if I can add context to that, it's my understanding that you can't even cut the grass without permission, like in the medians from MDOT.
That's right. They control that. Well, we have permission, thank God.
You get sort of letter of agreement, I'm sure.
But then when you do that, then you assume the responsibility.
Sure.
Give you an example. When the guy cuts the grass out there on Highway 9, if he throws a rock or something, it breaks a windshield, he's responsible for that. He has to pay for that. And we've had several over the years that have had to be paid for. But they're good about it.
Yeah.
But you can't create a hazard that's already a hazard. In other words, it's a hazard driving down Highway 90, okay, with the traffic as it is now, especially now with the bridge out. So you can't do anything that's going to create an additional problem, okay?
Except close Fort Bayou Bridge.
Well, I'm just kidding. Listen, they wanted to close Fort Bayou Bridge during the Christmas season.
Oh, goodness.
We said no. Okay. Yeah. So they put it off as long as they could. They've really been good to work with.
Look, I'm just kidding, right? I know it has to be done, but you know,
the major problem is the parts and parcels of the bridge that were made out of steel have rusted, and too bad it couldn't have been made out of stainless steel.
But right,
we wouldn't have been able to afford it, so. They have to have maintenance over time. But, you know, the bridge flooded several times. We've had hurricanes that pushed that salt water in there, probably in areas it shouldn't have been. And but it's we're on the coast.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah.
So, but they'll hopefully get it done in 45 days, and we'll be another 50 years probably down the road before we have to look at it again, hopefully. I'll be gone, but I'll be anyway. But really and truly, the little bridge has really proven to be a godsend.
Yeah. Because it's definitely an asset to the
area.
That's
the link between all of Gulf Hills and St. Martin through Ocean Springs.
Mm-hmm.
There was talk at one time about putting a link there on Old Hospital Road to the 609.
Yeah.
But the expense of doing that, going across that.
It's a wide area.
You'd have to have a bridge that would open, or at least one that would be awful high to get all the traffic under it. So it just wasn't practical.
Yeah.
It may be in the future, you know, something may happen. But until then, we'll have to utilize what we have.
Sure.
But
sure.
I tell you what, I bet you Biloxi's enjoying all the additional traffic, because I know we're dealing with it.
Right, right.
Somebody told me yesterday, they said, why isn't the MDOT out there, the Highway Patrol, directing traffic? I said, well, if you follow the signage, you can pretty well navigate all that. You know? But, I mean, there are several ways that you can go without really spending a lot of time backed up. It's just a little bit further that you've got to go around.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of people who have found that it's actually, they lived in East Ocean Springs, they would go west on 90, and they found that actually going up 57 has saved them, you know, a few minutes. So I don't know how difficult that is to, you know, discover on your own, but it took the closing of this bridge to figure this out.
Yeah, we live kind of in the middle, so that we, either way we go, it's about the same if you go 57 or if you go through Biloxi. But I like going down through Biloxi because I get to see the beach and enjoy the drive.
But, you know, 57 would be a better drive if we had more businesses out there, you know?
Sure.
So I know that going up 57 has been a talk of annexation. Do you have an opinion on it? Or?
Well, I think we... Obviously, you expand the city limits. It's logical. Only logical way to do that is by annexation. As far as I know, there are no plans to annex anything other than maybe some of the areas that are vitally important to Ocean Springs. But there's nothing that I know of that's
on the table.
On the table right now.
Right, right. Yeah, I've heard people express interest in going up 57 and then having interstate access. Mm-hmm. There's obviously an economic impact there for that.
There would only be one corner that you could have of the I-10. Actually, two corners, one on the north, one on the south. Of I-10, because Goche has the other corners.
Yeah, they've got the other side. In.
And of course, we lost one of our major doctors' centers to Goche.
Just they right across the road there.
They wanted to be in Ocean Springs, but it just the land couldn't be developed on the other side or purchased. So they moved over to the Goche, but which is fine because they're still the best doctors on the coast, I think. And at least the service is not gone, you know,
right.
Still there. So, I mean, those are the things that you do. But I think Goche and Ocean Springs have kind of a special relationship. We understand each other and what our goals are. And I think we've been able to really work through those over the years, which is good.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up. Is the secret to developing Ocean Springs in some sort of partnership or cohort with Goche? I mean,
well, you have to have the surrounding areas on board if you're going to do, because you don't want to compete same business or the same type of business. I mean, you'd hope to be a little diversified.
Yeah, it's like having two Starbucks across from each other. Unfortunately, yeah, that works.
I've seen that. Yeah. Excuse me. But I think working with Goche, because Goche has the same problem we do. You know, they haven't been able to develop their west end of town.
Interesting. Like, it's so interesting how similar it is, because they have a sports complex there. Right. There's nothing on either side. And we have the sports complex there, and there's not much there. Yeah, right. I never thought about that. Yeah, it's very interesting.
120-some-odd acres out there. And out of that, I think we used about 40 to 60 acres because we had to mitigate the rest of it. Mm. But it's still a complex. It's really nice. It's utilized by a lot of people. The good thing about having it out there is there is a possibility of expanding it.
Yeah.
But you have to mitigate those wetlands. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about it is, though, it has room to grow, and it doesn't impact traffic-wise downtown. It's out far enough to where it stands on its own as far as that goes. It you know, you can get away from downtown, because we could have probably purchased some land in town or at least closer to town, but it would have really impacted some of the neighborhoods that were already in development stages or at least being built. So we didn't want to do that. So
right.
We took a long, hard look at it and decided that would be the best place to have it. Look, there's always a controversy whenever you have something like that, mm-hmm. where you build it, if you build it, whatever. But our athletic programs in our school system and in our recreation department have proven to be some of the best in the state.
Yeah.
I mean, we've won state championships. When I have won state championship in softball, girls softball, mm-hmm. and my team won two times. So we've gotten pretty good responses from that. I think that our high school, I'm very proud of them. Our baseball team, our football team, our basketball team, girls and boys, mm-hmm. our track teams.
Even the band is a collegiate level. I've told people, like, there's no good time to go to the bathroom at an Ocean Springs home game, because the game's exciting, the band's exciting, the dance team's exciting, everything's exciting. Uh-huh. You know,
sure. Well, that's what you strive for.
Right, perfection. Right.
But Ocean Springs has always put education first. Mm-hmm.
And it's paid off.
It has. That's
in a major way.
Card. And that's what's so important about Ocean Springs. When people move here, working in Ingalls, the shipyards, the Keesler, or any other, they look for a town or a community or a city that has the best opportunity for their children.
Yeah.
And they don't have to look very far, because Ocean Springs is number one state.
Well, if we can transition back to, say, City Hall here for a moment.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the subjects that I like to ask all candidates about, because it is something that I think people maybe don't fully understand. And of course, we've had this conversation many times on this show. So I imagine you're going to have a similar opinion, but can you talk a bit about executive session?
Executive session is a session that is limited to two topics: personnel issues and legal advice. If you're in a lawsuit, you cannot discuss the case in open, because then you're giving your case away, or you're providing additional information to some other person, or
who will certainly use those words against you.
That's right. And in a lawsuit, you want to protect the city at all costs and in every case. But a lot of times, you I don't know if you know this or not, but see, this is the way it works. You make a motion to, or you move to go in executive session to determine if you're going to stay in executive session. Well, here's what happens. You go in there, and the clerk or the mayor reads the reasoning behind the request for executive session.
Okay.
All right. That does not mean you're in executive session.
Interesting.
It means you're going in there to determine if you're going to stay in there, and with the advice of the council, whether or not it's a subject that is under the protection of an executive session, meaning the actions that you're taking there legally can be talked about in executive session.
Okay, I'm going to pause you right here real quick. So, because I don't think that we give enough credit to the city attorney, whose job is to make sure that what is going to be talked about, or rather, we don't give enough credit to the city attorney that they're there and their entire job is to protect the city from litigation.
That's correct.
Yeah, and so, you know, we think that it's an arbitrary thing to go into executive session, but, you know, there is somebody there who's there to fact check and say, actually, no, this is fine, or yes, we definitely should go into executive session. Sorry. So I want to make that clear.
So if you determine that you're going to have to stay in executive session, then you make the motion, the clerk goes out and announces exactly what the reasoning is. Okay, we're going to stay in executive session due to personnel matters or litigation. Okay, well, once that is done, then the attorney will be in there the whole time, and he'll keep you on track. If you get off base, he'll tell you real quick, fellas, this is not matters to be discussed in here, and he'll tell you. I mean, yeah. I can't tell you how many times that they've warned us about that. So that's good, okay. But it should never be abused. Listen, the people's business should be, in my opinion, conducted before them. Okay, it's not a dictatorship. It's a republic, and you have to do that. Make sure that they are informed.
And before it's any of those things, it's also a community, you know, and it's the right. People's community.
Now, with personnel, with respect to personnel issues, you know, you have to respect a person's position that's working for the city. If a person has a reasoning, a reason to want to talk specifically about a problem, okay, that is serious, okay, then the attorney, along with the board, will determine if that's something that we can stay in executive session over. You can't discuss somebody's health problems or anything.
Salary
like that.
And things of that nature.
No, because that's unfair to them.
Sure,
and,
sure.
It's unfair thereby. Now, you can announce it after you've taken the action. You come out and you announce what you did in there, okay? And that's what you should do. But I think a lot of times people get the idea that they go into executive session to hide from the public what it is that they're wanting to talk about. And that sometimes is conveyed to in their actions, mm-hmm. All actions, state and other states, and, you know, do the same thing, and they get criticized for it. But notwithstanding, the people's business should be conducted in an open area before them. They should have a chance to convey their thoughts and ideas and opinions on any subject.
And it doesn't surprise me that that's your opinion, because that seems to be a principle that you continue to revisit, and I think it's fantastic.
And I am definitely opposed to going to an executive session if it's not needed.
Okay.
It just, you know, a lot of things can be talked out, and, you know, you can always work these things out before it has to go to an executive session. Now, look, there are a lot of things that they discuss in a board meeting that should have been worked out before they got there.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You don't have to hammer everything out there. You need to do your job and do your homework and make sure that everybody's apprised of what it is that you're going to do, how you're going to do it. Then you come to the board for final action. And that way you not only save time, but you spare the details of having to hash. I think the worst thing in all of my years on the board serving is when an alderman comes to a meeting and they're not prepared to talk about the subject, and you have to catch them up on the everything. And that is unfortunate for the people that have studied their agenda and asked the questions before they got there.
Well, as a team too, I mean, they're not pulling their weight in that, you know.
Right. And that's the thing that I will stress, is that it's a team effort. Listen, Cruising the Coast, Peter Anderson, the parades, or any event that we put on, doesn't have a single eye in it. It's a team effort. And that's what I want to convey if I am elected your mayor. Mm-hmm. I want to be and make it a team effort, because it does not work with the big I. It works with the big T. The team makes the difference. And you surround yourself with people that are like-minded and that are team builders and can communicate and can work with each other. Look, it's not easy to do that a lot of times. But then again, if people will listen to both sides, then maybe they can get a better idea as to what it is they want to do.
Yeah. So you're saying being open-minded as individuals, but like-minded in the idea that we need to move together as a team.
Right.
And so the challenge that I see is that if I'm trying to assemble a like-minded team, you know, of like-minded team members, I can assemble that team. I can interview, okay, you've got this, you've got that. But as a mayor and your board of aldermen, mm-hmm. you don't get a say in who's going to be on the board. So, like, it kind of requires you to have an additional skill set of being able to build that team, you know, create this unity of effort, you know. So what are ways that you plan to do that? I mean, how can you leverage your team, even though, like, you didn't get to pick the team members involved?
Well, the most important thing, in my opinion, that a mayor has to do is he has to communicate seven aldermen, to them, what it is that the mission or the focal point of mm-hmm. any subject is. You do a good job of that, then you can get everybody on board. I think a lot of times aldermen over the past, that when I served, felt excluded because some of them were able to make the meetings and some of them weren't in the planning stages. So it did create a problem. But, you know, as the law says, you can only have three aldermen and the mayor. You can't have four because that's a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to really watch that. And a lot of times that creates problems. But all you have to do is just hold a planning session where you can have a quorum and it's open to the public and you can sit there and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I intend to do. We want to have a good general discussion. We'll have that. And we'll have it where the citizens can input. Listen, you cannot run a city effectively if you exclude the citizens. Nothing works properly if it's not put in place properly. You can't build a house on a broken foundation.
That's right.
You have to have the foundation established, and it has to be solid. And then you go up. So many projects in city, state, county have been really good projects, but the foundation was never laid properly. So you didn't have the people supporting it and behind it and given the input that it should have had initially, so that you could make sure you steer clear of a lot of the problems that are obvious.
Sure.
And I don't want to ramrod anything down anybody's throat. I want to make sure you're on board with it.
Well, I see you talk about this and you talk about how this is such a problem and how you want to avoid it. It's clear that you're passionate about that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's worthy of discussion for sure. But
we didn't get to be number one in our school system by accident. I take pride in the fact that over the number of years that I was on the board, we appointed good school board members.
Mm-hmm.
They made the decisions. Well, that's a team, and our job is to support that team. When you put them in place, you support them, and you do whatever you can to help them. That goes with any volunteer organization we have. You don't tear it down, you build it up. If a member needs something, you go shore him up and help him.
Right.
The worst thing you could do, in my opinion, is to put somebody down that's volunteered their time. You need to go to that person and find out what the problems are. Why are you disassociated with the group? Why are you discontented? Whatever. Find out the problems and work through them. Look.
That takes effort to be so surgical about it, and I think it's great that you're taking that upon yourself. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to do that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't believe that Ocean Springs would be where it is today if we hadn't had people that really loved Ocean Springs, cared about Ocean Springs, and guided it through some of these really difficult times. We've been through some times. When I was first on the board, we had under 5,000 people in town, I guess, and we didn't have money to do anything with. We had to buy used highway patrol cars, get them in Jackson at the auction, bring them home, put engines in them, transmissions, rear ends, seats, and everything else, and build a car.
Wow.
And that's what we did. And we did it for years, and it worked, because at the end of the 4 years, then the next board was able to go and purchase cars. But I've been through that with Ocean Springs. I know what it is to be there. So compared to what it was then and what it is now is night and day. And it didn't happen by accident. It happened because of progressional stages that we went through to build and make sure that what we were doing was right, at least as near as we could get it right.
Yeah.
You don't always get everything right.
Sure,
but
sure.
You sure try.
Right, right. I mean, you're definitely going to have setbacks for sure in any meaningful project. But, well, Chick, it's been fantastic talking to you.
Well, I've enjoyed it. I really have. I appreciate you asking me.
Yeah.
And I hope I've answered everything that you've wanted to talk about.
Well, and on that same note, I hope you've had the opportunity to say the things that you've wanted to say. And,
yes.
And with that said, is there anything else that, like, a final kind of message that you want to deliver? How can people get in touch with you? You know, that sort of thing.
You can call me at any time. My phone number is 228-990-5077.
Mm-hmm.
You can get me on Facebook. You can get me on my email.
Mm-hmm.
It's Chick, CHICSUE, 43@gmail.com. And be happy to talk to you or come meet with you or explain my positioning on anything.
I'll make sure to put that in the description of the post as well as on the website. Now, you do have an event Saturday, don't you?
Yes, we do. We have coffee and pancakes with the mayor, elect Chick Cody, at Phoenicia's from 7 to 9. So come out and get a cup of coffee and some free pancakes.
There you go.
Like, and enjoy it.
There you go.
Be glad to talk to you.
Well, Chick, again, it's been great talking to you. And, you know, I say this at the end of all these episodes, and I genuinely mean it. You know, the citizens are the ones that truly benefit when they have such a difficult choice to pick for mayor, because of so many talented people, yourself included, that have such a meaningful desire to do what's best for this city, right, and to put yourself out there in the public eye, you know, ready to take criticism for any ideas, but still holding fast in the passion that you have for you know, being a mayor and carrying on the flavor of this town. So,
well, Ocean Springs is special, and we want to keep it that way.
There you go.
I don't believe for one minute that Ocean Springs will ever be anything but perfect for me and for others that have come here seeking what they call the perfect place to live. But, you know, we have to keep thinking outside the box to keep it where it is. I love Ocean Springs. I love the people of Ocean Springs. And I will continue to love Ocean Springs and to work with Ocean Springs until the good Lord calls me home.
There you go. Well, again, best of luck, Chick, to your campaign. I've had a blast talking to you. And if you ever want to come back on and talk about any other issue in Ocean Springs, please feel free to get in touch with me.
I appreciate the invitation, and God bless you. Thank you so much.
You as well. You as well.
God bless you.
All right, everybody. Thanks. We'll see you. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I certainly did. And if you want to follow more and hear more, you can check us out on any of the major podcasting platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, everything. You can also follow us on social media. I've got a YouTube channel, so search for Shop and Chivalry. Subscribe there. We also have Instagram. Just look for Shop and Chivalry. Twitter at Shop and Chivalry, and Facebook.com/Shop and Chivalry. You can also shoot us an email at administration@shopandchivalry if you'd like to be on the show or suggest somebody or give more direct feedback. You can also find that link on our website, shopandchivalry.com, where I have all of my ramblings about the show, what the show means to me, that particular episode. I've got a blog, other media on there as well as embedded players. So you can play the shows and the videos for those that have video as well. So again, thank you for all the love. I appreciate all the feedback. It's been wonderful. I'm having a great time. And yeah, much love. All right. See ya.